So what was the biggest surprise of the Golden Globes for you?
Nomadland was my biggest surprise.
Let me ask you this. Had you even heard of that movie before the Golden Globe nominations?
Not at all.
I had never heard of that movie.
You know, I found that kind of a trend. Like, I was looking at the list of nominations on the Golden Globe website, and half the movies I never heard of. You know, you had Anthony Hopkins in The Father. Never heard of that.
Yeah.
Jodie Foster in The Maturient, I think is how you
pronounce it. I don't even know how to say the name of that movie.
Like, I never heard of that movie.
No, me neither.
We all heard about Mank. We all heard about Judas in the Black Messiah. We all heard about Ma Rainey's Basement with Chadwick Boseman and Viola Davis. That was on Netflix. That was a really good movie.
Which he won the Golden Globe for.
Yeah, he won the Golden Globe for Best Actor in a Motion Picture Drama.
Yeah.
Which deservingly so, and not just because the man passed away in 2020, but because of the fact that if you watch the movie, it's a phenomenal performance.
Gotcha. So when it comes to the Golden Globes, those are slightly different than the Oscars. One, because a lot of the technical stuff is not included in the Golden Globe nominations, like editing, sound effects, visual effects, cinematography. They just mostly focus on the performances. I think the most technical thing they have is score, like the best score, best song.
That, and I think an animated feature.
I mean, the Oscars also, but I see what you're saying. They also included animated. But fun fact, what was the movie that opened up the new animation category for the Oscars?
I probably would say it was probably either Shrek or Toy Story.
It was Shrek. It was the year of Shrek, Jimmy Neutron, Monsters, Inc. was like the year where people were like, oh, animated movies are good too. So they opened up that category. But anyways, so the Golden Globes mostly includes television and TV. Actually, it only includes television and TV, whereas the Oscars are only movies. And every year, I pay attention to the Golden Globes, but then I also don't pay attention to the Golden Globes because half of the nominees in the Golden Globes are not nominated for the Oscar. You know, like somebody will win Best Actor in Comedy or Musical, but they are not even considered at the Oscar for Best Actor, you know? So, that's always been my thing with Golden Globes, where it's kind of more, what's the word? I'm looking kind of laid back, you know, kind of like, yeah, okay, here we go.
You know, I can see that. We had this conversation the other day at work, and I think one of our buddy Paul, which we hope to get him on the show here for one of our episodes, and he has some pretty great thoughts when it comes to movies and stuff. But he kind of pointed out, like, hey, you know, the Golden Globes is like, you know, more the way me and you see movies. Like, we're considering stuff that we've seen or has been made within the last, you know, 10, 20 years, even recently. And the Oscars is a little bit more artsy and a lot more, you know, prestigious. So you have to, like, really play by the rules to get nominated by the Oscars.
Very true. And also with the Golden Globes, they have, you know, two categories for best actor in a drama and then best actor in comedy or musical.
Yeah.
So then you have people like Johnny Depp, I think won for Charlie and the Chocolate Factory for best actor. And then when it came time for the Oscars, they were like, you're not going to get nominated. Like, why did you think you were going to get nominated for an Oscar? You know, little things like that with the Golden Globes where, yeah, the Golden Globes is more like, hey, it's kind of fun, you know, like, oh, we got this movies like, like musicals could get nominated and you're like, oh, that's awesome. But then when you get to the Oscars, they just have one category for best actor, best actress, you know, supporting actor and everything like that. So Golden Globes are pretty great, but I mostly pay attention to Oscars, but I still enjoy watching the Golden Globes.
So let me ask you, when it comes to musical and comedies, let me ask you if you heard of any of these movies.
All right, go for it.
Borat, the subsequent movie film.
Yes.
Hamilton, I know the answer to that one because you told me you watched it when it came out.
Yes.
Music, film by Sia.
No, never heard of that.
Palm Springs.
Never. Is that the one with, that's the one with
Andy Samberg.
Yeah, I heard about it, never watched it.
And Prom.
Prom. Yeah, I heard of Prom. Prom is on Netflix.
So I've only heard of three of these. And that was Palm Springs because it was on Hulu. It premiered on Hulu. Hamilton, which obviously premiered on Disney Plus, and we watched it and was fantastic, I thought. And obviously Borat, because, you know, everybody wanted a sequel to the first Borat movie, which I didn't watch because I just don't like the Borat movies.
Did you ever watch the first one?
Yeah, yeah. And it's nothing against Sacha Baron Cohen. Like, I think he's phenomenal, but I just don't like the Borat films.
Okay.
It's just not my cup of tea. But I know this one was, like, really controversial. There was a lot of stuff in this one.
Yeah, I only saw the first half, because there gets a point with those movies where it's cringeworthy. You're just like, oh my gosh. And part of me is also like, people are still falling for this guy. Like, nope. Like, yeah, he says in the movie he has to have disguises. But there comes a point where you look at Sacha Baron Cohen, you're like, dude, it's you. Like,
yeah, we know it's you.
We know it's you. But it's amazing that he could still, you know, surprise people. And he got Rudy Giuliani bad. Did you ever see that scene with it is rough. It is very rough to watch. But Prom. And
he actually addressed that in his acceptance. He goes, all big thanks goes to my co-star. Couldn't have done all these jokes without him, Mr. Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah.
Everybody just started dying.
It was like, oh my gosh, dude. Yeah, it's bad. But so, for instance, Borat's not going to get an Oscar nomination. No. Sacha Baron Cohen is not going to get nominated for Best Actor at the Oscars.
And Borat may get may squeak in to maybe like best comedy or something, or best original screenplay.
They might get best original screenplay, but they're not. Maybe. I mean, a nomination.
But not. I don't think it's going to be like, oh, you're going to get one of our Oscars.
No. Yeah, no, there's no way they're going
to get. You know, and people don't realize like Golden Globes goes back, you know, to the 1940s. I mean, And for those of you who don't know who decides the Golden Globes, it's the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, which was formed back in the 40s. And it was literally just a group of foreign press. Like it really was. And they would get together and talk about the arts. And around 1942, you know, the biggest thing was Pearl Harbor.
Yes.
And so America's jumping right into World War II. So a lot of the press in Hollywood was trying to figure out what we can run and talk about other than war, because they knew already that it would be getting old. We need to see nothing but, you know, war highlights on the front page of news.
Yeah.
And so that's when they started getting together and gathering and just talking about films and actors and writers.
Okay, so it took them a year. So 41 was Pearl Harbor. So 42 is when they finally, that was in the first year.
Yeah, because, you know, 41 is Pearl Harbor. And then America's getting into it. So everything's war.
Gotcha.
You know? And then, you know, years later, they started meeting at a Beverly Hills hotel. And then I think one of them, the first award went to, let me see if I can find his name. But the first award went to, it was like just a plaque. and it was just for his contributions.
Okay, gotcha.
But yeah, it's a pretty old foreign press, and I don't know, man. I enjoy watching it because, you know, last year, you know, he had Joaquin Phoenix win Best Actor. He was all drunk when he made his speech. It was hilarious.
And that's the funny thing about Golden Globes is they can drink while they're there.
Yeah.
And so sometimes you'll get a celebrity who gets up there and he's a little tipsy. Like, did you ever?
Well, by the end of the night, they were all tipsy. Like, it was like.
And, you know, it's so crazy. These awards go on for so long. Like, it's insane how long all these award shows are. Oscars, Golden Globes, Emmys, Tonys, you know, Grammys. Like, it's just like, if you got to do an award show, it has to be over 3 hours long. And the Golden Globes is no exception. And it's you have these actors all sitting there getting drunk, and they go accept their awards, and sometimes you get some funny moments. Like, there was one year, the actress who won for Best TV comedy, she had gone to the bathroom when they called her name to win. And the producer of the show walked up on stage and was trying to, take his time so she could hurry up and come back from the restroom. And then Robin Williams jumped up on stage and started entertaining the crowd, because it was kind of awkward where you call the actress's name and she's not there.
Yeah.
And you're like, what is Robin Williams, of course, being Robin Williams, goes up there. And
so the first reward was given at a luncheon in December 1947 to Harry M. Warner, president of Warner Brothers.
Wow.
In recognition of his humanitarian work as a principal sponsor of the Friendship Train, which left Hollywood with food, clothing, and medical supplies for the needy of Europe.
Okay. So he received the first Golden Globe. Warner did.
Technically.
Technically. Okay.
Technically. It was a plaque saying, hey, you're a good humanitarian. Thanks for sending aid to Europe for the boys.
Okay.
And this was after the war, obviously.
That's pretty cool, though.
But there's a lot of cool history behind the, you know, Hollywood Foreign Press Association. And again, just like the Academy, they always catch a lot of heat, you know, for being majority male.
Majority female. I mean, majority male, majority white.
Yeah, majority white.
And apparently this year, you know, I don't want to be a jerk, but this was the year they finally, like, hey, there are no African Americans at all in the foreign press, Hollywood foreign press. Like, there's nobody of color in the foreign press. And this year they got a lot of heat for that. And it was kind of a big controversy. And, you know, this all kind of goes back to a couple of years ago. You know, it's not the Golden Globes, but when the Academy did the Oscar So White, where they showed all the nominees and you were like, oh, that's cool. Like, it was all, everybody was white. There was every year it seems like something is changing and something is going forward, which in my opinion, it's about time. You know, it's like, yeah, why not? Like, why have it? Why are y'all still operating this way? And this year, since 1983, was the first year a female won Best Director at the Golden Globes. You know, like, that's insane. So I wasn't even born in 1983.
No, my brother was. I wasn't born in 1983. Yeah, this year was the first time ever there was three female directors in the Best Director category for a motion picture drama.
Which is insane. Which is amazing. And it's one of those things that you're like, man, it took all this time for it to happen. But what I'm afraid of is that, you know, I know, okay, you liked Green Book last year. Okay, I loved Green Book. I did not like Green Book. I loved
the Green Book.
And my wife was one
Viggo
of
Viggo Mortensen was absolutely amazing. Well,
again, you know, with, you know, I'll give credit where credit is due. The performances and the actors and the actress in the movie are amazing. The story itself and how they told it, and then when they won Best Picture, you get up on the stage, everyone's up there, and my wife was like, Octavia Spencer is the only African American on stage right now, and Mahershala Ali, that's it.
Yeah,
and I was like, wow. And anyways, I know that movie was, it became the new Crash, which was a movie that a lot of people didn't think deserved the award, but a lot of people think the Academy was like, oh, look, this is how cool we are.
So,
you know, we did it.
So that story, you know, that story was rooted. There wasn't a lot of black people in that movie, or a lot of African Americans in that movie. Because the main character,
it's Mahershala Ali's character.
Mahershala Ali's character, like, the whole story is him going down to the South, the Southern states, and performing for all the rich white folk.
Yes.
And so all the actors, all the co-stars, and all, it was Viggo Mortensen, him, and then
true, but screenwriter, producers,
directors,
they're all, you know what I mean.
The only one to do it right was George Lucas's Red Tails, but he got a bunch of flack.
Yeah, he got a, which is bullshit. Anyways, and you know that was what I was referring to. The cast, the story makes sense, but then when you get to the crew behind it, you're kind of like, okay, like, that's cool, I guess, you know, but I'm afraid that the Hollywood Foreign Press and the Oscars are going to just start saying, like, oh, hey, this is the year for this. This is the year for this.
You know,
not based off of this is the better movie, this is the better director. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm afraid is going to happen.
And I kind of feel your fear, because I kind of feel the same way. You know, after watching this year's awards, with everything that went on in 2020, and everything that's probably going to be going on for the next couple of years, like, I kind of feel like a lot of artistry and a lot of hard work will be overlooked because of certain things.
The politics, the climate of the time.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I kind of fear the same thing. Mm. And this year for the Golden Globes was just a year of change. I mean, you look at the top two film distributors with the most nominations was, you know, Netflix and Amazon.
Which is insane.
Yeah. You know, it wasn't a major studio. It was two streaming services. Mm-hmm. The two houses that had the most, you know, TV nominations. Netflix, Amazon, Disney, HBO, like.
Yeah. It, you know, never in my whole life would I ever think that Netflix would be considered
22 Oscar nominations.
Yeah, an Oscar worthy,
and that's just for film.
Golden Globe. Yeah, that's not even the television side of what they're doing at Netflix. And so, you know, things are changing, which I'm glad. You know, things need to change, but I hope they don't honor movies just because of that. I hope they say this was the better movie, this deserves the Oscar, not oh, this is and Golden Globes. I think are better gauge at. I'm trying to say, like, Golden Globes will give an actor best actor, best director, best picture, best actress. And most of the time, it's like, oh, that was the right choice. That was the right choice for that. But then when you get to the Academy Awards, you notice they kind of go like, this is your year to win, not you deserve it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So,
like, I kind of feel like, you know, Amy Adams with, you know, Hillbilly Elegy on Netflix deserved it. Some type of nomination. Glenn Close got a nomination for that movie for best supporting actress in a motion picture drama.
Yeah,
she didn't win. The award went to Jodie Foster, which is fine. But I didn't see that movie, so I can't say whether or not. I can't compare the two. And a lot of the movies that were nominated, I didn't see. Like, you know, Nomadland by Chloe Chloe Zhao.
Yeah. Go easy on us. We're from Texas, you know.
So. Yeah. So, like, I didn't see that. I'm going to watch it. It's on Hulu right now. I'm going to watch it and see, but because I'm pretty sure that that's going to get a nomination for an Academy Award.
Oh yeah, that's definitely going to be a shoo-in for Picture and Best Director.
Yeah. Trial of Chicago 7. I saw that one. Obviously, it's on Netflix. I haven't seen Promising Young Women yet. I know I've heard it's pretty decent, but I've also heard it's kind of like. Like, what was that doing in the
game? I've heard both. I've heard some people say it was a very unique and strong story. And it looks very intriguing. Like, I want to watch it. But then I also heard some people say, like, it didn't deserve to be nominated. But who's saying that? I got to.
But, you know, was it a lack of options? Or was it a, you know, did it actually deserve to be there?
Well, see, that's the interesting thing about 2020 was maybe. I don't want to take anything away from. You know, Promising a Woman. I haven't seen it. I'm not taking anything away from any of these movies, but you have to admit the field was a lot smaller this year. So movies that you kind of were like, oh, that got nominated. Okay, interesting, because there weren't a lot of movies that came out this year. And, you know, and like I said, I'm not taking anything away from the movies. It's just 2020 was a very different year for film.
Dude, there's 14 movies coming out on March 5th.
Yeah.
And there wasn't even 14 movies coming out in theaters in 2020.
Yeah. Like, in 3 months, maybe you got 14 movies. Maybe. But now it seems like 2021, we're going to get back. So next year's Oscars and Golden Globes are going to be like, oh, okay. But with this year's choice in the movies, it's different. It feels different. Everything is different about it.
Well, and I kind of feel like this is kind of a change that we're going to see within the movie industry itself because you know, what 2020 had and with the effect that the pandemic had on the movie industry and how it kind of shifted the tide of power from the major movie studios to the streaming services. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you had sent me a podcast the other day that featured Ron Howard.
Yeah.
And he talks about that. You know, it's kind of crazy how these streaming services can kind of give you the budgets you need to make those character-driven feature films and character-driven stories, whether it be a series or a movie, that the studios can't give you. Or they give you the freedom that the studios won't give you.
Yeah, like there's and what's in that podcast I sent you, which is called Smartless, which is amazing. I'm going to give a shout out to Smartless, even though they're never going to hear this. That's awesome.
Jason Bateman's like leading the whole thing. I don't think they need our help, but you know what? Yeah. They're going to get it.
Yeah. But what's interesting about that was a director as prestigious and as amazing as Ron Howard, when they asked him, like, would you ever consider doing a long, you know, streaming like a series,
like
long,
an eight or nine episode
without hesitating. He said, yes. Yeah. He goes, I would do that. And they also said, like, the what's beautiful about that, and Netflix is proving that. So is Amazon and Hulu and Disney Plus is that
all of them are
figuring out that, hey, people are okay watching 8 hour long movies now. Like, we are all fine with watching this entire story told over 8 hours, which is what it is now. That things are moving toward that with all the streaming stuff and everything. So going forward, we're going to be seeing a lot more of that, which it's happening. But then movies, it's like, are the streaming services also giving those directors that much power? And it's, yeah, they gave Fincher and Sorkin pretty much free reign to make Mankin, Trial of the Chicago 7. Like, they were like, go for it. Make the movie. Put it out there.
And, you know, and we talked about it the last episode with David Fincher, you know, how he felt Netflix gave him a blank check to make Mank. And that's kind of what most streaming services are doing now. Like, we have the money. Make what you want. Give us that character driven story. Give us that artsy film that you always wanted to work on.
But
the big studios never told you no. Like, give us you on film. And
yeah,
and that's what we're seeing from the streaming services. And that's why we see them kind of dominate something like the Golden Globes in 2020, because obviously in 2020 nobody was going out to the movies anymore. They were staying at home, finding out what they can stream. So then at that point it was like, okay, what can I get my hands on in terms of Netflix saying, okay, how many movies can I pull over into my umbrella? Disney saying, oh, I'm releasing all of my stuff.
Yeah.
And then HBO and Warner like, okay, well, this is all of our stuff. Like,
yeah, it's crazy how it's shifting. And we're watching it. And you know, back in the day, you and I would go, I mean, not you and I, but you know what I'm saying? Like, we would go to Blockbuster, rent a movie, and watch the movie, you know, there. And that's it. You go to the movie theater and you'd watch it at the movie theater. Now it's, you go on Netflix and they're like, hey, you can go watch this in theater, but it's also right here. So here it is. And you can watch it, you know. It's insane that we're watching that shift happening. And with the Golden Globes, it was a very big like sign that nothing going forward is ever going to be the same with these awards.
No, and I don't really think it is. And again, it's nothing. We're not trying to take anything away from the films that were nominated or the actors that were nominated and the ones that won, because obviously they did something right in 2020 to deserve the nomination.
Yes,
and we're not saying the nominations were just given to just anybody. But what we're trying to say is, like, we're seeing a pivotal shift in the movie industry.
Yes.
I mean, it's kind of similar to seeing that transition from black and white movies to color, or from monotone movies to stereo, you know, from film to digital. You know what I mean? You're seeing that transition unfold before our eyes, and it's kind of scary a little bit, because we don't know what we're going to be getting. Like, are we going to have, you know, are we going to have those big blockbuster movies that everybody waits months in order for a release?
Yeah, is the term blockbuster going to go away? You know, blockbuster was invented back in the 70s with Jaws. And the reason that, you know why they called it a blockbuster? Was because the line to the movie would go around the block. So that was why they called it blockbuster. Fun fact, hope y'all enjoy that. But yeah, and that is, I'm afraid that's going to go away. It's got to be gone. You may have it once or twice a year now.
The movie industry is going to change. Like the movie theater industry is going to change.
Yeah, the movie theaters. Yeah, it's already changing.
Yeah, like I mean, we're going to see the specialty theaters and, you know, kind of like the Alamo Drafthouse or like the Evo spot where you can buy dinner and drinks and, you know, kind of make it a little small, little date night as you watch a movie. You have reclining seats, or drive-in movie theaters are going to make a resurgence.
Yes.
But that movie theater experience that we feel with films, when you walk in and your shoes are sticking to the floor, you smell butter, and, you know, and you get that large dill pickle and you're sitting there eating popcorn until the movie shows. I don't think we'll see that again.
I don't think we're going to see that. And this year showed that the movie industry can continue without that.
Yeah.
And it can flourish.
It can be profitable.
Yes.
And that's what a lot of these movies showed, especially releasing on streaming, because, you know, they figured out a way, hey, we can charge a little extra for early access. I'm doing air quotes here.
Yeah.
For early access, and people are still going to buy it. Because if you think about it, early access for Amazon Prime is, you know, $20. Mm-hmm. If I go to a movie theater with my wife, I'm spending $24 on tickets.
Just on that's not even including anything else.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, yeah, it was smart of them to do, but me being the, you know, the classic, and you as well being the classic, wanting to go to the movies, that's gone almost, and it's sad that happened. But at the same time, it's very convenient. You know, it's very nice to sit down and you know, get my bowl of popcorn in my house and ask my wife, hey, you want to watch Mank? You want to watch Trial of Chicago 7?
We can sit and talk about it as the movie's playing, and we can pause it. You know, we can rewind, we can go back, we can re-listen to it. It has its benefits. You know, and we're saying all this, and it kind of sounds like we're going off topic, but when we go right back to it, and we go back to the Golden Globes and these awards, it changes how these movies get viewed in terms of an award, how they get graded, how they get looked at. Because at first it was like, okay, we look at performance, we look at effects, we look at sound, we look at shooting, we look at box office sales. Box office numbers, how many people bought the DVD. Like they're looking at all these numbers. It's hard to tell with the streaming services.
Yeah.
Netflix buys something, they're putting it out. They're not charging anything extra. They may raise your
Yeah, they've got to raise the price, which they are, unfortunately.
They're going to raise your monthly rate, but they're not going to charge anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Disney's definitely not going to charge anything, especially if it's their own movie.
Yeah. Although Disney did make quite a bit of money off of Mulan. And I think, is Raya and the Last Dragon going to be a premiere release?
Raya and the Last Dragon is going to be a premiere release, and it should be what they're saying is it's their last
one. Oh, that's right. This is their
last one.
Yeah. So, hopefully, unless they make bank.
We're hoping that, and it's going to be actually, I believe, Mulan didn't premiere simultaneously in theaters and on Disney Plus. It only premiered on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
And Raya is premiering Friday, March 5th, on Disney Plus and in movie theater.
Everyone's going to buy it on Disney Plus.
I'm going to buy it on Disney Plus.
And what's cool, what Disney did, though, is you buy it and you can keep it as long as you keep your Disney Plus subscription.
Yeah, and here's the crazy thing. Amazon Prime is releasing Coming to America 2 on Friday as well, March 5th.
No extra charge.
It's kind of like their just original film.
Yeah.
And it's... Everybody's been wanting a sequel to that movie for decades.
Since the movie came out, everybody wanted a sequel to Coming to America. And it's not ironic that it was a streaming, you know, platform that took the chance to finally say, okay, Eddie Murphy, you know, Arsenio Hall, here you go. Like, this is it. Y'all can make your movie finally. But
are we going to see that in the 2021 Golden Globes or the 2022 Golden Globes and the 2022 Oscars?
Yeah, see, that's the crazy thing is how's the summer? I think the summer is the biggest, is going to be the biggest, you know, sign of how it's all going to proceed forward. Because us in Texas next week, they're completely doing away with the mask mandate. They're opening everything up
100%,
and it's
going to be chaos.
It's going to be insane. But at the same time, movie theaters are going to start opening again.
Yeah.
So all the studios are kind of, and it's like, are they going to just go like, oh, cool, boom, here you go. Now you can watch them in theaters. Now don't worry about the streaming services. So was 2020 the weird year of the streaming wars, or
no?
Or is 2020 the new trendsetter, and this is what's going to happen in 2020?
I think 2020 was a new trendsetter going forward. I think we're not going to see the new what happened in 2020 changed people, and it changed them to their core. Because nowadays people are questioning going to those large gathering areas.
Yeah,
they're questioning, you know, do I want to be around all those people? Do I want my family to be around all those people? Am I going to put myself at risk for 2 hours of fun?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or can I just rent this? Can I just rent this at home?
Yeah, that's going to be a big question now. Like when a movie comes out, I can guarantee you people are going to say, well, if it's out on, you know, down, if I can rent it for $20 for two nights, I'm going to do that. And not go to the theater.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're right. I think it's going to happen.
We're going to find out with Warner Brothers and HBO Max, because Warner Brothers is the first major studio other than Disney, and Disney hasn't really done it that much. But Warner Brothers is the first major studio that has come out and said, "Look, all of our major releases are going to release in theaters and release on HBO Max, no extra charge."
Yeah. Same day.
Now, granted, they're charging, you know, $14-$15 for HBO Max.
Yeah.
So it's not cheap to have it. But you know, where does it stop? If Warner Brothers is able to make a profit off their movies some way, somehow, and you know, as a moviegoer like me and you are, like, we know that for a movie to be considered deemed successful in a box office, it has to make at least twice its budget.
Yeah.
So does that change now? Does that change? Does a movie with a $150 million budget, if it makes, you know, $125 million on streaming and in theaters, is it considered a success?
I think it will be considered a small success, enough for them to keep doing it. Because we did the math a while back and we figured out, I think there's 28 million subscribers to HBO. Like, it's an insane amount of people. Multiply that by 15.
Disney's getting ready to hit 80.
Yeah. Okay, so these streaming services are making insane amounts of money a year and a month. So it's one of those things that it's like, yeah, they can make an extra $5 million, extra $10 million, which in any other year would be considered a huge disaster for the film.
Yeah.
But if it makes a profit of anything, I think the studio is going
to
just...
If it draws more subscribers to their service.
Exactly. And then they'll see, like, oh, we have an extra, you know, million people paying us $15 a month now. That number's going to go up. And, oh, we also just got $10 million extra dollars or $15 at the box office. We're doing fine. Let's just keep doing this. And, you know, HBO's did that. They did that with Wonder Woman, was the first one to do that. And Judas and the Black Messiah came out. That's where I watched it. It was on HBO. I didn't go to the theater. And it was a great movie, by the way. King Kong versus Godzilla, and then Dune is coming out at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And that's one that I'm like, man, hopefully everything's calm, because I want to go see that in the IMAX, you know. But it's weird. It's a weird discussion that, you know, and I know we're talking about the Golden Globes, but this thing is happening and we're watching it happen, that the streaming services are taking over the awards shows now, to where let me ask you this. Are we still going to say streaming services, or are we just going to start saying Netflix had three, you know, how we say, like, Warner Brothers,
I mean, are they going to be considered now, you know, movie studios or studios now?
Which is, I never thought.
Which they could be, because they literally own their own space and making their own productions.
Yeah.
You know, worldwide.
That's bizarre.
It is. It's crazy to think. And, you know, to swing back to the Golden Globes, like I said, like, how is that going to change the award system? Because half the movies that were nominated for best motion picture drama, best motion picture comedy or musical, I didn't even know where to watch it. Anthony Hopkins is one of my favorite actors of all time, and I had no idea he starred in a movie called The Father.
Yeah, me neither.
And he was nominated for an award, best actor.
I didn't know about it until I saw the nominations. And then I was like, oh, there's a whole other movie. Oh, Frances McDormand did a whole movie that I had no idea about.
Nomadland. No idea what that was even out. Like, I'm just reading the reviews from it and I watching a preview of it. Like, I'm going to enjoy the crap out of that movie.
Because with most of these movies each year, and you know this, but listeners, I don't know. I'm not being a jerk. But most of these movies, throughout the festival circuit, throughout the year, you start to hear about them.
But there were no festivals.
Exactly. That's what I'm getting to, is this year, those festivals were all done online.
South by Southwest was canceled and people were pissed. People were
very upset and I was upset because you usually will get one or two movies that you hear about, and then you start to hear more about them as the year goes on, through, like, the South by Southwest, the
Sundance,
the
Indie,
all of them. Yeah. And this year, unfortunately, we didn't have any of that. So these nominations all come out, and most of us are just kind of going, like, what? Like, this movie just came out of nowhere, you know? And so it was a weird year for that. It was a very strange year for that. And most years I have an idea of who's going to get nominated, who's not going to get nominated. And this is, like, the first year that didn't happen.
Yeah.
And so it's like, man. And there was other movies I never even heard about that were nominated, and actors and actresses. And I was like, oh, you did a movie this year? Okay, yeah, cool.
I think when I went over the nomination list with you the other day, like, you're like, I don't even know where to find these movies. Like, we couldn't even find them anywhere. And normally, you know, the streaming service will have, hey, watch your 2021 Golden Globe nominations here. Mm-hmm. Like, they'll have a couple of them.
I think the closer we get to, like, the Oscars, we're going to start seeing a lot more of them pop up on there.
I think with the Oscars, we're also going to see a lot more worldwide. because it's gonna open up. It's gonna open it up to movies outside of the United States. We're gonna see a lot more, like, mm-hmm. you know, last year when Parasite just dominated everybody. That was the first time I ever even heard of Parasite.
That's the first time. No, actually, I had seen the poster and I thought it was super interesting.
Yeah.
And that was it. And then one day, a buddy of mine was like, "Have you seen it?" I said, "No." And he was like, "Don't watch any trailer. Just watch the movie." I was like, "Okay.
Interesting."
And then I was like, "What the hell is this movie?"
You know, and you know, we're talking about streaming wars and movies and how the movie paradigm is shifting. And all of this stems from just the thought processes that I had watching the Golden Globes, and a lot of it comes from before that, but just talking about the Golden Globe Awards just brings up these subjects because it's changed.
Yeah.
If you watch the 2021 Golden Globe Awards side by side with the 2020 Golden Globe Awards,
mm-hmm.
it's night and day difference.
Oh yeah.
And I'm not talking about just the room full of people
and the format of it. Yeah.
And format of it,
which is a whole other thing.
I'm talking about just, you know, the quality of movies, the quality of actors, and I'm not saying that the movies that were nominated are bad quality, but like you said before, the field was very thin and they had to reach for some of these nominations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't even think Borat, the first one, got nominated for anything.
It did. It surprisingly did get nominated for stuff, but there was more hype this year for it than it was back in 2000.
Yeah, because it became a cult classic.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those things.
He didn't get his best actor nomination at the Oscars. He won for best actor at the Golden Globes for musical or comedy. And if you ever watch that speech, it's one of the funniest speeches I've ever heard in my entire life that he gave for his award. At the Oscars, he got it nominated for his screenplay, which surprises me because I'm like, did he really write the screenplay, or is he just kind of like, let me just see what happens when I go out? But anyways, No, I know the quality of films this year, like I said, we're not taking anything away from there, but you could tell some of these movies were like, oh, okay, that got nominated. And so the Oscars is going to be a big kind of like,
yeah. Like tell. A lot of them, like Mank was phenomenal. Trial of Chicago 7 was phenomenal. Judas and the Black Messiah, phenomenal.
Yeah.
I can't tell you if The Father was good. I didn't watch it, but I'm assuming that it has Anthony Hopkins in it, and it got nominated for a Golden Globe, that it's actually pretty good. So
it has Olivia Colman in there too, as well. Like, she's amazing.
And I know this is a movie stuff, but I do want to give a shout out to my girl Anya Taylor-Joy for winning Best Actress in a Limited TV Series Drama for Queen's Gambit.
Oh my gosh, that was one of my favorite moments of 2020. Was watching literally that show. I can't even begin to describe to you how amazing that show was.
Like, I can watch that show, and I can watch that show over and over again.
Yeah,
but I won't go back and watch Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I will binge watch The Queen's Gambit again, but I will never watch any season of Game of Thrones ever again.
I may watch the first two.
I will never watch Game of Thrones ever again. That's a whole other topic. But
I do have to say that, you know, this year for the Golden Globes, again, like we said before, three women nominated for Best Director, you know, in a motion picture drama, which is unheard of. And you have Chloe Zhao winning the award, first time a woman has won the award since 1983. Those are huge steps.
That's insane.
For women in the movie industry.
Yes.
And for women in these award ceremonies in general. And so hats off to those ladies who got nominated. Hats off to Chloe Zhao. Just seeing her acceptance speech and just reading up on her a little bit. Like, she's a really mm-hmm. interesting person. I kind of want to see what else she makes.
Yes.
I'm excited to watch Nomadland on Hulu because I want to see what the hype about. Because apparently in this movie, like, they actually went and hung out with like real nomads.
Yeah. I heard the production of it. Almost like, I'm not trying to brag about myself, like I made a movie back in October with some friends, and we kind of drove around, you know, a little bit over there in Nevada, Oregon, and it was all run and gun, you know, like just go, let's shoot this scene. And apparently that's how they did this movie too, and it's terrifying to do for low budget. And I can't imagine Frances McDormand. I mean, she's an awesome woman, but like just kind of being put in those situations and seeing how she does. She did not win Best Actress though, which I was surprised about, because I don't know. I saw the trailer and it looked like one of those that I was like, oh, wow, She's amazing in there, but she did not win Best Actress for that one. But yeah, so yeah, yeah, Nomadland.
Best Actress went to Andra Day for The United States versus Billie Holiday. Another movie that I didn't see. I did see a trailer for it. It was a movie that was released on a streaming service.
Yeah.
And I really want to go watch it because apparently, like, her performance in that movie is just absolutely phenomenal. And I've seen a couple other of her movies, and she's actually great in it. So, yeah, I'm going to go check that movie out as well. I'm really sure she deserves it. And that category was stacked.
Best Actress?
Mm-hmm. Viola Davis, Vanessa Kirby, Frances McDormand, Carrie Mulligan.
I'm so glad Vanessa Kirby is, like, making her way out, you know, because she was in The Crown.
Yeah.
And she was phenomenal in The Crown. And so I'm really glad that, like, she's getting all these gigs now. And I'm like, yes, yes, here she goes. And Carrie Mulligan, of course, is just awesome. Like, I loved her. And I honestly, and I know this is going to get controversial, but I honestly thought she should have won Best Actress the year Sandra Bullock won for The Blind Side.
Really?
Ooh, yeah. Carrie Mulligan did a movie called An Education that year. For the Oscars, she lost to Sandra Bullock because that was the year Sandra Bullock was winning everything, and I thought Carrie Mulligan was phenomenal in that movie. But anyways, that category was stacked, and I hope, and I know we just talked about her, but Joy Taylor, right? Mm-hmm. She did Emma at the beginning of the year last year.
I think that was Emma was nominated for a couple of things.
Yeah, she got nominated for a musical or comedy Best Actress. I hope she kind of gets that Best Actress nomination at the Oscars as well.
I can see it. I can see a nomination. That movie was a little hard for me to watch.
You didn't like it?
No, I thoroughly enjoyed the last 45 minutes of it.
Yeah, okay, I see what you're saying. So I'm very uncultured, if you may, sometimes when it comes to things that are super obvious. I'm watching this show. I'm watching, you know, I'm watching the movie Emma, and it's going, and then it just hit me. I was like, oh yeah, Clueless.
Yeah,
is this? And I was like, oh my gosh, I felt so stupid that I didn't realize that Clueless was just a remake of
Clueless Emma. Was just a modern adaptation of that book.
So I knew how the movie was going to end. So I was like, all right, this is fun. But, this is great.
You know, for me, it was like, you know, the first, you know, at least when you watch Clueless, like the first, it's kind of entertaining from the get go. The first, you know, hour or so, you're into this movie, and it's just like, I don't know what's going on, but this is like really dry. And Anya Taylor-Joy does a phenomenal performance.
Oh yeah, she was. Movie. She carries and that entire film.
All the actresses actually do a great job. Yeah. It's just everything's really dry and it's slow. And then towards 45 minutes to the end of the movie, that's when things start picking up and start making sense.
And you're like, oh, and it's a cute movie. It ends, and I was like, oh, that was so sweet.
The best part was her dad.
Like, oh yeah, Bill Nighy as the dad.
Yeah, right? He just puts the screen in front.
He's like, there's a, I feel the breeze. I feel the breeze over here. Get over here. I hope she gets an Oscar nod.
I think she might. I mean, especially with all the hype built up around her, around Queen's Gambit.
Yeah.
And obviously that wasn't the only thing she was in. She was in Peaky Blinders and a couple other things. But
I first saw her in Split. Yeah. I think Split was the first time I ever saw her.
Split was a phenomenal movie.
Yeah.
And then, you know, some of these other ones, you know, Best Actor, obviously that one went to Chadwick Boseman. And I'm not saying that it was only because Chadwick Boseman did pass away in 2020, mm-hmm. which is very unfortunate. And if you listen to his wife's speech at the Golden Globes, like, I started tearing up. Mm-hmm. It was very emotional. And if you watch Ma Rainey's, what's the name? Ma Rainey's Black Bottom on Netflix, you see why that man won.
Like, yeah.
I've only known Chadwick Boseman doing Black Panther and a couple other movies here and there. But when I saw him on Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, it was like a way that I've never seen him before.
Okay.
And it was crazy.
Do you think he's going to get the Oscar nod? Or?
So I think the Oscars are going to do what they do for all actors that pass away. I think they're going to do like a nice long tribute, mm-hmm. And probably give them. I think they have a specific award for.
Nah, they do the whole in memory of, and they do it. They show all the actors, you know, cinematographers, editors, directors who all passed away throughout the year. But what I'm concerned about is the is the field so big for best actor that he might get skipped over?
You know, he might get it. He actually has a really good shot at getting it.
Okay.
I mean, because again, I mean, you really don't have a lot of performances that kind of equals it. I can think of one or two performances that are on par with him,
yeah.
But his performance in this movie was absolutely really phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch it eventually. It's just, it was one of those things this year that it was a weird year that I couldn't get every movie in that I wanted to watch.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And you know, the 25th of April is going to be the Oscars. And that's something that I'm going to try to do this year. I try to do it every year. I try to watch all the movies nominated. Yeah. And I always go with the big three or the big four. Original screenplay, best movie, best actor, best actress. If you typically the movies nominated for those four categories are all nominated, like they're all like
they the all same. Get a best. They also get a best picture.
Yeah. So yeah. It's like I only have to watch maybe six or seven movies. Mm-hmm. But
every year my wife and I have been doing our best to watch all the Oscar-nominated films before the big night. Yeah.
And then here's the real question. Like, okay, best actress, motion picture, musical, or comedy, the Rosamund Pike.
Yeah.
I've seen her before in a lot of other movies, but she won for I Care a Lot, and that recently just dropped on Netflix, like literally last week.
That dropped Friday before the Golden Globes.
Okay, so here's my question. I haven't seen that movie yet.
Yeah.
I want to watch it. I heard it's like within the first 20 minutes, she's the most hated woman in the world. And it starts getting kind of comical. But to qualify for these awards, the movie has to release in theaters, correct?
Which it must have. That's the only explanation.
So it must have. If it releases in one movie theater across the country, does it count?
I believe it has. There's a weird thing where it has to be in LA and New York for 2 weeks, I think is what it is. If it opens in theaters for 2 weeks in New York and LA, you're good. You're automatically qualified for an Oscar and a Golden Globe as well. I think that's what they did. Like, that's the only explanation as to how that movie got nominated. Because, yeah, like you, it comes out and Friday I see the trailer for it on Netflix and I was like, oh, there it is. I was like, yeah. Okay, and that's then cool.
Even with, you know, Judas and the Black Messiah on HBO Max,
yeah.
It dropped last week.
Yeah.
And it dropped in theaters last week. According to Warner Brothers, they're dropping everything the same day. So how did...
They must have had a press junket for it where they had all the press go and watch it. And
how did Daniel Kaluuya win Best Supporting Actor if it dropped the week before?
I don't know, man.
Like,
that's a good question.
But that's kind of to my point that we're trying to get to earlier when we're talking about the streaming. Like, it's going to change the way these movies are graded. It's going to change the way the HFPA, the way the Academy look at these nominees and these qualifying movies and actors and actresses for these awards. I guess everything's going to shift and change. And we're going to start seeing this within the next year or two.
It's going to be weird, man.
Again, nothing against Daniel Kaluuya, but he deserved that Best Supporting Actor because that movie is phenomenal. Yeah, if you haven't watched Judas and the Black Messiah, his performance in it is...
Yeah, the first 5 minutes of the movie, and I texted you right away. Yeah. I was watching it when I texted you. I text Rudy in the first 5 minutes of that movie, and I said, he's going to win everything. He's like, but you text me, is it qualified? Because it just came out a week before. And I was like, yeah. And then you just, right now, I just realized, yeah, you're right. When did they see it to nominate it? Like, when did this happen? And maybe they had a private showing for them. I don't know. Maybe the studios did something different this year.
Maybe they adjusted the rules a little bit just because of 2020.
Maybe. And maybe they got to send it to them directly so they could watch the movie.
I don't know. It's just weird to me. His performance in that movie, again, is phenomenal. That whole entire movie is great. And it's one of those movies where you can argue, okay, he's actually the lead actor. He can actually get nominated for a best actor.
He's award. Top billing in the movie, yeah.
And it's it's kind of one of those, like, you know, Hillbilly Elegy, where you have, you know, Amy Adams and Glenn Close. You can, they can either, they can switch in and out as, you know, lead actresses.
But I will say there is a chunk of Judas and the Black Messiah where he's not, I think, like the whole middle act, he's hardly even in the movie.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those things that they gave him supporting. But yeah, he easily could have been best actor nomination. And, you know, that could happen. That's one thing that happens at the Golden Globes and the Oscars, is somebody who was nominated for supporting could possibly get a best actor nomination.
I'm going to call it now. Like, they need to come out and actually tell us what they're doing for these 2021 award shows on how these movies and actors and actresses are being nominated or chosen, because it's just too weird. Like, and I'm going to use this one as the prime example. It literally dropped the week before the awards. And according to Warner Brothers, everything's simultaneous.
Yeah.
So how did it qualify? If there is a 2 week window or a 1 week window,
how to take it? And the nominations came out before that even happened. Before the movie even dropped, the nominations were already out.
Yeah.
So I don't.
It blows my mind.
It's a weird year.
It really is, and you know, it's very weird. I kind of liked it. My year went by very well. I had my son last year, around this time, just before this time, actually in February last year, and he made my year go by really fast.
Mm-hmm.
I do miss all the big premieres, though. I do miss that feeling of going to a movie, and you know, buying your ticket. You know, at first I missed standing in line to buy your ticket. Now, you know, I buy my tickets online, but. You know, you buy your ticket, you walk in, you're looking at the expensive popcorn. You know, I still have my commemorative popcorn tin for when I went to go watch The Force Awakens.
Nice. I didn't get that one. Is it? Oh, it's right. Oh, man. Okay, so he's showing me right now. Oh, it's beautiful.
It's gorgeous.
I have a Rogue One cup. Like, I got it right before they were going to start throwing them away. That's beautiful. And in case you don't know, Rudy and I are huge Star Wars fans as well. So just got to throw that out there. But... I miss all that too, and I hope it happens again, but I have a feeling it's not going to be as much
this year. I'm going to try, like, for this podcast, I'm going to try to go. I haven't been to a movie theater in well over a year. I think my wife was like at least 8 months pregnant when we stopped going to movie theaters, only because, you know, when you're that pregnant and you sit down, your legs start swelling and it's kind of harder to walk. So it was like 2019 whenever I didn't go to a movie theater. So the first time I go, like, I'm going to go live on Instagram, and it's going to be one of those, like, just like, oh my God, I'm here.
He's crying the whole time. He's like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe this is happening.
And I don't know, man. I'm just, I love movies. I love the experience that it gives you. But I am interested to see on what direction these movies are going to start going.
Yeah, me too, man.
Everything's going to be character driven now, and it's going to be, you know, you can have the biggest budget in the world for effects, but if you don't have a good characters behind it.
And that's another thing you just brought up, is a lot of directors are moving towards streaming because now they have 9-10 episodes to tell the story.
Mm-hmm. They can slow it down and tell it right.
So are we, the quality, I know we kind of mentioned it, touched on it, but now it's like the quality of the movies coming out this year and going forward is going to be different, because big name directors are going to be like, well, why make a movie when I can do 10 episodes an hour long to tell the story and not have to cut anything out of it? And so it's all going to change.
Well, let's look at what the movies we know so far that are coming out this year. Godzilla and Kong. You know that's not character driven. That's all CGI.
Black Widow.
Black Widow. That's not character driven. That's all CGI.
And what?
Mortal Kombat.
apparently, we're getting the new James Bond. Maybe.
Is MGM going to release it, or did they sell it off to someone?
I heard a rumor that they said they might actually have to go back and reshoot some stuff because it's been so long since they shot it. Like, it's insane how much time has passed since that movie was shot.
They were trying to drop that movie for like a $300 million price tag.
Yeah.
And like Netflix was interested, but Netflix was like, I ain't paying $300 million for that. And like, I'll give you
what the movie was made for. I'm not going to give you $300 million, you know? I don't know. No Time to Die. That's what it's called.
No Time.
I mean, that one, and then Dune at the end of the year.
Dune is going to be, I think I'm more excited about Dune releasing this year. I know we're going to have a couple of Marvel movies. We're supposed to have the Spider-Man 3 movie.
Well, I'm most looking forward to the Spider-Man one.
Yeah, that's going to be a big one for Marvel. And it's only because it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a multiverse movie. And we're going to see characters that we've wanted to see together.
Yeah. But it's not a Mank. It's not a Trial of the Chicago 7. So it's the movies are shifting and we're watching it. We're seeing that happen. So I give it another 2 years before we make it back to the old school of these. Because now this year is just going to be the leftovers of 2020, the big leftovers of 2020, and maybe a few good, great movies. But it's different now.
Yeah. And I think I'm going to be a little bit more critical on movies now this year because they didn't release in 2020 and I want to know why they held them back. And if they're a flop... Like,
and we may find that out on Friday with Chaos Walking, that new one with Daisy Ridley and Tom Holland. Like that movie should have been,
That movie should have been released in 2017.
Yeah, like that movie should have been out then, and it should have been made before that even happened. Like it was supposed to come out during the Hunger Games Divergent time. But anyways, that's a whole other discussion for that one.
Yeah, and there's a chance that I might go watch that movie this Friday. That might be the first one I go watch. Because right now, I mean, there's really no big movie that's catching my eye that I can't wait to see. I just want to go to a movie theater.
And yeah.
If, you know, Chaos Walking is the only one that I can't download on Amazon or Disney Plus or Hulu or whatever streaming services I decide to use, then that might be the one that I might watch.
Yeah.
So, and plus it has, you know, two actors that I actually enjoy watching, Tom Holland and Daisy Ridley. And
Daisy.
I love girl. Daisy Ridley. The whole time I'm going to be screaming, Ray.
Nobody says Ray like John Boyega, though. John Boyega.
I'm just going to, I want to see if I can find that audio and just put it on my phone. Every time she comes on screen, I'm just going to play it.
Ray. But before we go, shout out this week. Earlier this week, there was Ron Howard was celebrating his birthday, and then his daughter
Bryce Dallas Howard
also had her birthday a day after her dad's birthday. Yeah,
today on March 2nd.
March 2nd when we recorded this. Shout out to them if they ever listen to this. Happy birthday, Ron Howard has been one of my favorite directors for years. Apollo 13 was my jam.
I think the funniest thing that that podcast he sent me and. Is it Smartless with Jason Bateman? The funniest thing they said was like, "Dude, you should be like 97. You directed every movie."
Yeah, he's like, your career and everything you've done. You need to be at least 97 right now. He's like, "There's no way you." And it, man, he started when he was 4 years old. And
a lot of my favorite movies growing up, were directed by him. I mean, Apollo 13, The Da Vinci Code, Angels and Demons. Oh my God!
What the Grinch? He directed the Grinch. He directed A Beautiful Mind, Cinderella Man,
Solo.
Yeah, he directed Solo, and that is one of my favorite Star Wars movies. Was Solo that was such a fun movie, and so
it really was. And it was like, I think he did such a fantastic job. And then we see Bryce Dallas Howard, who is slowly becoming one of my favorite directors through The Mandalorian.
Out of nowhere, she was like, "Oh, I can do this," and it was like. Whoa, you are amazing.
And I'm not going to say that her dad had something to do with it, but I'm just saying like that was probably the...
Well, I will say this, though, is she was in she's in every single one of his movies. She always was on the set. And if you ever watch the making of The Mandalorian they have on Disney Plus? I forget what it was called, but she's on there. She was like, "Yeah, one time I'm standing there and my dad was talking to George Lucas and Steven Spielberg and I just wasn't paying attention." And they're just like, "Whoa, what a life you had, you know?" like, and there you were bored listening to George Lucas and Steven Spielberg talk to your dad. Like, oh, yeah, okay.
Like,
but she's been around. She's been around all these movies. So
she knows what she's doing.
Oh yeah. And she proved that she knows exactly what she's doing.
And I remember when I first saw her, she was in, I think I first saw her in Jurassic World.
No, you saw her in Spider-Man 3. You didn't realize that was her.
No, I didn't realize it was her either. In Spider-Man 3.
She was Gwen Stacy in Spider-Man 3 with Tobey Maguire and, what's his name? Topher Grace.
Really? Was she?
Yeah, that's the first time I ever saw her.
Yeah. See, the first time I ever saw, I didn't know she was in Spider-Man 3. The first time I ever saw her was Jurassic World. And I was like, who is this? Like, she's awesome. And then when, you know, when me and you were watching The Mandalorian and we find out that she's directing, you know, one of the biggest episodes, we're just like, where is this chick coming from? And then slowly but surely, you know, I may or may not follow her on Instagram. She became one of my favorite person.
I'm wrong. First time I saw her was in The Village. M. Night Shyamalan's The Village.
Yeah, see, I don't watch anything with M. Night Shyamalan.
Oh, jeez. That was the first time I saw her. And then she was amazingly evil in The Help.
Yeah, The Help.
She was so horrible, but she did it so well. It's one of those performances that you hate her with everything in your body, but you're like, but man, she's doing a good job making me hate her so much right now. And now she's a very successful director, and rumors are going around that people want her to direct a Star Wars movie now. So that's exciting. I'm all for
it. It really is exciting, and I can't wait to see what her career takes her to.
Yes.
Just given the success that her dad has had, I'm sure she's just she's going to be just as successful in her own right. And it's going to be great to see where her career is. So happy birthday to those two. Again,
the Howards.
You know, one director who's directed almost every favorite movie that I have, and then one up-and-coming director that is going to be a force to reckon with.
Oh, yeah. Very true.
There's going to be a few years down the road where we're going to see Bryce Dallas Howard nominated for Best Picture.
For
the Golden Globes and the Oscars. And it's going to be phenomenal.
And we said it here first on the Movie Stuff podcast. Just want you to know.
Just want you to know. Just she's the one to watch for.
All right. So, Matt, we good?
Yeah. I think we're good. Thanks, guys, for listening with us. We kind of rambled on a little bit.
We're sorry.
Got a little off topic. But, I mean, if you start piecing everything together, everything starts making sense a little bit because you're just like, okay, yeah, that is going to affect one or the other.
Yeah.
So we look forward to taking this journey with you guys and hope you look forward to taking it with us as this moviescape unfolds.
Oh, yeah. And be sure to look us up on Instagram, Movie Stuff Podcast, Facebook, Movie Stuff Podcast Group. We're posting stuff, you know, questions, memes, you know, everything like that. We're having a great time. And also just shout out to the Marvel Stuff Podcast and the Star Wars Stuff Podcast, which is all, we're all connected.
Yeah, we're all affiliated. So, this is the Stuff Universe, as we like to call it. And
Stuff Universe, the Stuff Network. We're working on the name of the stuff.
It's going to be branded, I promise.
Just wait. But yeah, be sure to check those out as well. And thank you so much, Rudy. It was fun.
James, always a pleasure, man.
And y'all have a great week.
All right.